That man. That young man. I forgive him.
It's the news, according to me. It is Tuesday, September 23rd, 8:54, 8:55, 2025. I have not watched the whole thing yet. I've watched the entirety of Erica's speech. I have to say, it's been a really, really emotional time the last almost going on 2 weeks now. Just how precious life is, how fleeting it can be. I was almost hit by a car the other day, and it was I wouldn't say it was one of those life flashes before your eyes moments, but it was definitely a reminder. You're walking along, minding your own business, and you realize that other people are not paying attention. I'm a very defensive walker. I'm very careful. Watching out for other cars, I assume they don't see me. However, when you don't see the car, it comes out of nowhere. That makes it a little more difficult to be defensive in that respect. However, in this case, I saw them in plenty of time. They never slowed down. It's a reminder of the frailty of life, and yet there's so much resilience in the human experience as well. But my prayer for Erica and her children. She can say the words. She can say it. She can say she forgives whoever it was that took Charlie away from her. But ultimately, it is something you have to work out. She will not forget it. You almost have to work through a forgiveness. You can't just, saying it is a good step. I'm not here to be a theologian or a pastor or anything else. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not a counselor of any kind, really. But just know that going through something like that takes time. Today we're going to talk about this topical Tuesday, and we're going to talk about the free speech that we speak so much about. What it really means, what's happening right now with the supposed censorship on the left. Of the left, or whatever you want to call it. This Jimmy Fallon thing that the left is all in a tizzy about. They just continue to spin out of control on the left. And I'm talking about hardcore leftists and people like Destiny. They're just unhinged. Ridiculous. They're telling us that they're going after the haters, the hate speech, the haters. Going after the haters. What are you really saying? You're so wrapped up in hate for the haters because you've redefined what hate is. You have no idea that there's hate blossoming in your own heart. Forgiveness is one thing, justice is another. And we'll see what happens with all this. There's apparently a lot of questions now, of course, about what happened, who all was involved. I heard rumor that there was another guy that was at another event someplace on a college campus who's preparing to do a mass shooting. I'm not sure what that's all about. I need to look into that a little bit more. This whole thing's been kind of covered up. I should say everything else that's happening is in the shadows of what's happening with everything that's going on. Most of the messages I've heard, I was thinking about playing the one message that I heard from one of the main pastor, I think he was the one who gave the altar call at the Kirk Memorial. And I'll either play it or I'll share what he said. And I'll butcher it up. And I think I tried to share a little bit of it yesterday, but we'll talk about this whole free speech thing. In my cup, I have, of course, I got my regular big train chai. I didn't put any Pacific Island chai in here this morning. I don't have my favorite creamer in there. I've got some other kind of, it's a name brand, but it's a non-refrigerated creamer. It is an almond flavor. It's like an almond joy. It's kind of like I think it's maybe coconut cream or something like that. I pretty much used it all. It's the creamer I had on my boat about all summer. And of course, my backup cup, which is my homemade sweet peach tea. And that's pretty good stuff right there. It's going to get me through this show. It's not going to be a terribly long show, I don't think. A lot of things I can talk about, a lot of things going on. And it's kind of a heaviness that's been just, you know, I if you're looking to this show, typically I try to keep things light and kind of bounce through the heavy stuff kind of with some air of jovial. Jovial. Let's talk about Jimmy Fallon. It's a good case study, I think, in my opinion, for this whole thing of free speech, what's going on. Of course, how the left has reacted. Jimmy Fallon came out and made some statements, and he implied, and I think the most offensive thing to most people was that he implied that this wasn't a leftist who did this to Charlie Kirk. It was one of their own. It was a MAGA guy, supposedly. And there is this growing solidity from people on the left who still hold to this. They're disowning this guy as a leftist. They do this every time there's a left-wing nut. This has happened for decades. Of course, they always bring up the two, what was it in Minnesota, the two lawmakers, they were Democrats who were killed. They were the most centrists of the two of their state Senate or state Congress, whatever. I'm not sure what part of the government they were in, representatives. And they were killed by some wacko nut job not because of things that they said, but just because they were, I don't know, just because they were Democrats. Now, what's the, if you just look at the basics of this case in terms of motive, one would say he was actually the guy who murdered someone, two people, for a political reason, and that political reason was because they voted with the Republicans on something recently. There were only two. That's what they had in common. I mean, you start putting this together, this whole Occam's razor thing is they were the two that caved on something. And the next thing you know, some wacko decides he's going to eliminate them from the face of the earth. I have heard arguments on both sides, from both sides, about how this individual was either one, a leftist or somebody who was on the radical right, a MAGA guy, or it was a leftist. One thing we know is this guy was unhinged and all messed up. Now, putting together a motive, and I'm not in law enforcement, I'm not an investigator, I don't know, but it, just from the details that I know from the case, I'm not going to go through the whole, I'm not going to make my case here and try to convince you. I'm just telling you what I have discovered on my own, what I've learned, what I've come to believe about that case is that this guy was a leftist. But he was not a leftist Democrat. There are leftists, in my opinion, and this is, we use the term kind of loosely now, but in terms of the way I'm going to define it. Leftist means someone who has radical ideology that is not in tune with the constructionist of our country, of our nation, the founders of our nations, the vision of our republic. And I think that that's a key point in all of this. There's a lot to be said for the folks that are trying to point out that the Nazis, the fascists, the true, somehow it's been labeled as a far right-wing thing. That racism and racists are the radical right, the alt-right, whatever you want to call it. That has never been, somehow that label got thrown onto the alt-right. That's a part, first of all, this idea that the Republicans are the party with all the money, that all the big money donors, all the big backers, it's not the party of the common man, it's the party of the rich people, it's the party of, on and on and on about this whole thing. It is not, it's in terms of the party itself, it is not. The Democrat Party, I'm talking about the DNC, I'm talking about the actual party, the incorporated party, not the people who vote for them. The people in charge of the party is what I'm talking about. It's been very clear, and there's been some pundits that have made this very, in fact, one of them was a Democrat, recently came out. She said that she had the statistics to prove it. She's brilliant with statistics. And I think I played it on the show. You can go back and find this a couple weeks ago. She made it very clear that the Democrat Party has the largest money donors. It's most of Silicon Valley. Most of that was kind of well proven during the whole Twitter thing and everything else on social media. They were going right along with the Democrat Party. It's a new era now. It's a different era. It's a change. Now, I'm not saying it's necessarily going, you know, we need to be very cautious and move forward with much trepidation, in my opinion. Pendulums swing. And there are people in the Republican Party, and I'm talking about the establishment part of the party, who are just as power hungry and money hungry as there are people on the left. Joe Scarborough was at one time a Republican. He ran for office as a Republican. He is a complete dyed-in-the-wool Democrat now. I would say a leftist. The leftists have more in common. When you hear someone talking about democratic socialism or socialism in general, they're really referring to communism. Most of these people, Tim Walz, this Mamdani guy, just about anybody who talks about the socialist, Bernie Sanders even. I think Bernie Sanders did their honeymoon in Russia. It's not socialism they're looking for. And socialism's, they make this distinction between the two. There really is no distinction. It's communism light. But it still is the government takeover. And at its core, I'm going to get right to the bottom line of this thing. At its core, when you have a republic, constitutional republic that is based on the rights of an individual, you turn that around, the antithesis of that, the difference between that and anything else in terms of forms of government other than anarchy, which is a thing, and there are anarchists on the left. There are anarchists, I should say, that I throw them in the camp of leftists. Their philosophy, their ideology is very similar. The radical left. Anarchists basically don't agree with any kind of government other than just local. It's been given this a bad name, I should say. It was anarchy. Okay, well, anarchy can work. But at the end of the day, it only, much like socialism and much like communism, it only works if everyone is in and they're all committed and everyone fully puts in everything that they need to put in. The problem is you end up with people who are not going to do what needs to be done. When this country was early initially, they had a commune. They had a communal agreement. Everyone would work and everyone would put everything in, and whatever they had was all shared equally. Well, there were some who didn't work as hard. There were some that discovered that, hey, I don't have to work that hard, or I'm still going to get what everybody... They didn't put in the effort. They didn't put any work in. They just about died. The following year, they decided to implement an individualist mentality where you keep what you earn, you grow your own stuff, and then you have the ability to trade with others within the community. It was an open market society. It thrived. People knew that if they could work harder to grow their corn, to grow their whatever it was they were growing, to do their craft, to do their metalwork, to do their leather, whatever it was they were doing, they knew that what they could do with that craft was trade it for things like food or leather products or whatever it was that they needed. But you had people specializing in things, and they did their best to make sure that they had adequate things that people needed, whatever the market could support and supply, so that they could then trade those things for things that they needed. And they would put all their effort into that. because they knew that it depended, their life depended on that, being able to do that. Some would say, well, that's just greed. Well, you could say that laziness is greed. You could say that someone who just sits back and doesn't do anything because they know they're going to be taken care of, that's also greed. It's a form of envy, greed, the whole thing. The problem here is that people are fallible. People are not necessarily, you get maybe 10% of the population that is going to work with passion regardless of what they get paid or what they do. They work like they have a calling. And there's a mix of people, but you know, below that, not everybody else is all freeloaders. But I'm saying that there's that 10% that do, which are just all in, regardless. In fact, you can look at almost any church, any denomination, any church organization, any volunteer organization for that matter. Typically, volunteer organizations typically are a little bit stronger, but it's. About 10% of the people do 90% of the work, typically in most churches. Get your people who attend, and you get your tithe people as well, but the people who will support things financially. But not everybody's going to jump in, teach Sunday school, do cleaning, clean the toilets, do all the things they need to do. That stuff. About 10% of the people, if that, and I think it's maybe closer to 5% of the people, actually do 90% of the work. It's right in that 5 to 10%. And that's the case in almost any society. It's a small segment of the society, but and those are the people who are actually a part of something that's bigger than themselves. If you just get into regular day-to-day life, people even slack back from that. People won't even pick up trash on their own, in their own town, in their own sidewalk, typically. Somebody else gets paid to do that. And you got the people who will actually throw that paper on the floor, on the ground. Anyway, where am I going with all that? Maybe this show is going to be longer than I thought. Let's talk about the First Amendment. Let's go back to freedom of speech. Let's talk about Jimmy Kimmel. First of all, Donald Trump did not fire Jimmy Kimmel. Let's get clear here what's happening here. Jimmy Kimmel was suspended. His show, my understanding is yesterday, I think it was announced that today, I think he's back on live again today. However, there are a bunch of networks, including the Disney network, I believe, who are not going to, he's on ABC, by the way. There's a bunch of networks on cable who are not going to air his show. They're still suspending him indefinitely. So there's a lot of places that are preempting him, and then they're putting something else in his place. Some kind of game show, I think. Now, is what he said, should it have been censored? Now, of course, should he have been excommunicated because of that? Should he have been suspended? They can suspend him, ABC can suspend him for whatever they want. They could have just said, you know what, your ratings aren't good. In my opinion, in fact, his ratings were so bad, they were looking for an excuse. And when he came out and made those comments, he's made other comments that have been worse. He came out and made those comments, and I think it was just because they lost so many affiliates and all of a sudden they got preempted. And I don't know how the contracts read on that kind of stuff. If they ABC probably doesn't get paid, or they can't charge the affiliate, people who are paying and the sponsors for the show, because now their coverage isn't, it's probably based on coverage. So usually those contracts are, okay, for every 80,000 people or whatever, however many thousands of people it is that we reach, they get a whatever percentage of, your advertising dollar goes up. So if the show has really big ratings, then they might pay one fee, say they have an advertisement on there that costs them $50,000 for 30 seconds or whatever it is. And so for that 30 seconds that they get that ad on there, $50,000 goes in the pot. And then for every 10,000 people over the normal statistics that they get for that show, they might have a rolling fee based into the contract. So if the advertiser is some company called ABC Widgets, puts an advertisement out there, they pay their $50,000. The next thing you know, that company rather than having the 100,000 people view, which, by the way, Kimmel's audience is typically, I think it's on the average about 120,000 people, which is ridiculously low for terms of people watching show. Doesn't count YouTube Shorts and all that other stuff that they'll put out there, but this is where they go. So that's what the reach is. So then beyond that 100,000 people, they might pay, so once it hits 200,000 or once it hits 180,000, that advertiser may be required to be billed for more because they had a higher reach. It was based on coverage. So they'll pay the marketing company even more. So that's how they do that in some cases. Now everybody's contract, everybody's marketing deal is different. They'll always come up with, there's kind of a standard boilerplate type thing, and then there's companies that come up with other things that the way they do it. This is all, well and good until your affiliates, the people who are actually posting, taking that show out onto the networks, all of a sudden your reach diminishes. All of a sudden you've got 50,000 people listening or 30,000 people that are watching the show. Well, they might have some kind of a snapback guarantee in that clause, so they might have to pay the network back. They might have to say, okay, well, all kind of depends on the arrangement that they have with all these contracts. So that leaves ABC in a very precarious situation. They're not getting the advertising dollars they want because they may have to pay it back. Some of it might be an escrow, whatever's going on with that kind of thing. However they do it, and then so the bill comes due, and of course now, well, you guys didn't reach 50,000 people, so I'm not going to pay you this much. And then the whole, of course, the other side of it is, the networks who were paying to have the show on their cable networks, they were probably paying for that. Maybe they get paid for that. I don't know how that works. It all depends on the show. I'm not sure what kind of agreement that ABC had with these cable networks. And so there's all kinds of these agreements going back and forth, and all this, all the contingencies of everything that's... Apparently, it didn't cost the networks, those networks, anything to dump Kimmel, because they did. They dumped him. But then that leaves a lump in the throat of ABC. So they are bringing him back, and they basically, we can say with quite a bit of confidence here that the sad thing is they have... For the almighty dollar, they have decided to let Kimmel, to suspend Kimmel's show. Now, they said it was indefinite. And of course, now it's back. However, there's he's still not going to be on the cable shows. So this is going to be an interesting. Now they could end up firing him completely after a week if things don't turn around here. Now here's the thing. There's always a thing, and here it is, the thing. With Kimmel, he's going to come back with the show. He's probably going to stay away from any kind of subject. Who knows what he's going to talk about? Who knows what he'll do? My understanding is he's kind of doubled down on this whole thing. The left is their heads are popping off because they're saying that the Trump administration, the FCC, put pressure on Disney, I guess, or whoever it was. I think Disney owns ABC. So the whole thing is that somehow the director of the FCC put pressure on ABC because they had this deal going through where they were going to merge with somebody else, or they had some kind of an acquisition that they were doing, and whatever it was. something that they needed approval from the FCC. Fox Charlie Charlie, not Sierra Echo Charlie. However, the SEC is involved. The Securities and whatever it is. And so these two government organizations are kind of in the background. They're saying, well, you better take him off the air. According to the leftists, there's no proof of this, of course. They don't have to have proof. They just can throw the stuff out there and they'll just continue to repeat it. Somehow the administration, through the FCC, was able to put pressure on ABC to get rid of Kimmel. So he wasn't fired. He was suspended. The show was preempted, which I believe he still gets paid for that. My understanding is, I think he had 1 year left in his contract. I think what he's trying to do is just work out the rest of his years on the contract. It's probably what he's going to do into next year, or the end of this year, whatever it is. So I'm sure that's what they're doing. And so this is the problem on the left here is that they're throwing the blame directly at Donald Trump. The issue I have with that is if anybody else was in office, if a Democrat was in office, they would be blaming ABC. They'd be going after the big corporations. They'd be going after capitalism. Oh, it's capitalism. Capitalist. See, the government needs to take over ABC. Well, this is the problem when you have government. If they're talking out of both sides of their mouth and they don't understand, this is why you don't want government taking over corporations, because if you get someone in there you don't like, they're going to be, that's when you have a fascist government. That's how easy it is. It amazes me. Under the anti-fascist umbrella that they claim that they're under, this Antifa thing, stands for anti-fascists, they are the fascists. They're hiding under this cloak. Fascism comes in all kinds of, it doesn't just come at you and says, hey, we're fascists and we're coming for you. Hey, we're going to win hearts and minds by telling you we're, that's not how it works. They try to project on the other side. You're the fascist. Now comply with what we want or we will cancel you. It's not coming from government. It's coming from society. It is when this kind of thing happens, I have to say, let's go back to some basics here. Back to this bottom line thing. The bottom line is this thing is a spirit. There's a spiritual aspect to all of this. And you can say whatever you want to on Facebook. You can say whatever you want to on your little shorts and your TikToks and all the stuff you want to do. You can get out there and celebrate the death of someone who was assassinated. You can do that all day long. Guess what? That's your free right to do whatever you want to do. And you can lie about things that Charlie Kirk has said and what he was about and what Turning Point USA was about. You can lie about Erica Kirk as well, and you can lie about all the other people that are involved and anybody who, I was so richly blessed to see some of the people I saw at the memorial. This thing was a worship service. This is, I didn't know that much about Turning Point USA. I just thought it was a political action group. I thought it was more political than anything else. I really hadn't paid that much attention to it, honestly. I don't have kids in college. I don't have kids, I don't have kids. And this organization mostly was kind of directed at college age, which I have a huge passion for college age kids. I don't know why. I wanted to be a youth pastor when I was growing up, and I went to college to be a youth pastor for a year. I went to a Bible college, and I worked as a youth pastor in a couple different churches. I worked at a summer camp where I helped with grade school and junior high and high school kids. I was a counselor many times, a camp counselor. Cab dad, they called me, cabin dad. I was the guy who wrote the song, Picking My Nose for You. which is, look it up. It's on YouTube. It's pretty popular now. I never copyrighted it or anything, and now everybody's singing it. The sad thing about all of it is, how it all works, is that somehow, you know, God kept sticking me in these other places where I was very, I would say, much more successful, and it was with college-age kids. I ended up head of a young adult, and I tripped into it. I just happened to go to a couple meetings, and I ended up being the leader of this group for a particular denomination, Northern Indiana Young Adults organization, and it grew while I was there. We were pretty active. We had all kinds of stuff going on. It was fun. And I stepped out of that position and found myself in another situation with college-age kids. It seemed like it was always college-age kids. That there was just kind of this, I had a better connection to. I have not pursued that for the last, you know, however many years. So I've been kind of out of touch with what's going on with Turning Point. So needless to say, I have to say it is a pretty mainstream organization. I wouldn't say that there's any particular denomination that it falls under, but I would say that I pretty closely align with a lot of the beliefs that it has. There's in terms of biblical theology and whatever they're pushing. And I think mostly they're just promoting people to just to return to church and return to the Bible. But a lot of Charlie's debates were based on biblical principles. And they have been so maligned and so twisted and so just so misrepresented, taken out of context. The things that he said and what he actually said are so very, very different. Now, this idea that they just label him a racist, and so then everybody just continues to repeat that. They just copy and paste it in their brain. He's a racist, he's a racist, he's a fascist, he's a fascist. That's all they can say. Van Jones has, I think, been shaken by this. I would not be surprised if Van Jones steps away from the Democrat Party at some point. This has really shaken him, in my opinion. I can hear it in his voice. I know that's the only way I can describe it. He actually came out. I think it was actually on a Facebook reel. That's where I heard this. If I can find it here, if he actually said it this morning. Yeah, see, I don't think he said it this morning. I think it was. Yeah, I don't see it here anywhere. Pretty sure he said it on a Facebook reel. Now, I might be able to find it. Let's see if I can find it. Van Jones on Charlie Kirk. This is a four. Here it is. This is a short. Van Jones shares shocking message Charlie Kirk sent him on the day before his death. But let's. This was on. I'm going to play Valuetainment, their version of it. This is. This other one is CNN. The shorts for. I'm going to play this version because I think it's going to be shorter.
And then he all of a sudden.
Oh, here we go. This is Patrick by David. I don't want to play his part of it. I just want to play Van Jones' part of it.
Friends, at all. In fact, the last week of his life, we were beefing hard. Beefing online, beefing on air. But the day before he died, he did something that shocked me. He sent me a personal message, calling for personal dialogue, wanting me to come on his show. He said we could be gentlemen together. He said we could deal with our disagreements agreeably. In the past week and a half, just watching people talk about civil wars and censorship and all this stuff coming out of his death, I just thought it was important to let people know, don't put that on Charlie Kirk, because the last day of his life, he was reaching out to have not more censorship, more conversation, more dialogue with somebody who honestly was one of his adversaries, me.
And then he...
That's where Van Jones is. And I think that it's... I hear in his voice, and not only that, but his body language as well, it also shows it, the way he's up, you know, the way he's looking around with his eyes and everything else that's going on. He's got a huge question mark in his head right now. He says it was shocking. I think what he really means to say is he was shaken by it. Because the narrative wasn't lining up. Everything he was hearing from the left about who this guy was not who he was. Van Jones wasn't the one who was reaching out to Charlie, saying, hey, let's have a dialogue. All of a sudden, it's the other guy that you have vilified who's saying, hey, let's have a dialogue. He's the villain, supposedly, in your head, that your party has labeled him as. So this whole idea of free speech, you have free speech. The government isn't arresting Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel. The government didn't come after him. The government didn't fire him. And even if the government put pressure on ABC, they should have said, no, we're principled. This is our First Amendment right. We're going to let him stay on board. No, it's all about the dollar. If leftists are mad, they should be mad at ABC. Shouldn't be mad at Donald Trump or the FCC or the head of the FCC or anything else. But they have twisted this around to make it sound like Donald Trump himself basically called somebody up and said, Jimmy Kimmel, you're fired. That's now in their form of government, that's what you'd have. Because government would be in charge of controlling the means of production. And that means any kind of production. That means even network broadcast productions, even show productions. They're being produced. It's production. And you better believe the government takes control of all of that. The freedom of the press is only freedom. You've heard it said many times in recent days, you only have freedom of speech if it's legal speech. You don't have the right to spread misinformation, or especially with regard to our democracy. It's Tim Walz was saying this kind of stuff. Tim Kaine was the other VP potential candidate. They say this kind of stuff all the time. And it's like, no, free speech. I'm sorry, I'm a free speech absolutist. You should be able to, and yes, I think you should, I know, in fact, if you can yell fire in a crowded theater, there's no law, show me the law that's on the books that says you can't do that. It's a liability issue. You can say it all you want. There's no law that says you cannot utter this phrase, statute 1564 that says you cannot yell fire in a crowded theater. Well, what's crowded? That's a law that's too ambiguous. And what do you mean by fire? I mean, I've been in auditoriums where people said the word fire as they were praying, because they were praying down for the fire of God or whatever they're praying for. They've said the word fire. And I've even had heard congregations saying, fire, fire, fire. Chanting fire. Well, you can't yell that at a crowded theater, which is a theater, auditorium, whatever you want to call it. Congregation of people. Well, what if there actually is a fire and you yell fire in a crowded theater? Now what do you do? Well, we got to have to arrest you now for saving everyone's life because you let everybody know about the fire. You see, the problem here is that it's not illegal. You're not breaking the law, but you are held liability. You're held accountable for what happens with what you said, what you did. Anyway, do you see where I'm coming from with this? That the idea of free speech is speech basically that you disagree with. That's someone's right to speak and say things that you disagree with, or even things that are lies. But then you can be held liable for defamation, for you know any number of things that you might say about another person. Defamation. So there's accountability to that, whatever you say. And in this case, it was just simply a person's employer. Now, there were plenty of people out there who were dancing on Charlie's grave on TikTok and everything else and saying all kinds of weird and wacky, crazy things. You have the right to do that. Your employer also has the right to say, look at that. I don't think we want that person working for us. You are gone. It saddens us to say that you have to be not working here anymore because we don't want people like you working for us. And why would that be? Why would you not want someone who didn't pull the trigger, but is happy the trigger was pulled? Let's go down this road for just a few minutes. Now you've got people like Ilhan Omar and some others that are out there. Well, yes, I condemn what happened to him. But they always say but. They start naming off the things that they don't like about Charlie. Well, he said this and he said that. He doesn't like empathy, so therefore, blah, 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 blah. Going on and on and on about all these other things. Why are they bringing these things up? Well, he said this and he said that. And they're implying something here. They're implying that he deserved it. They're implying that he had it coming to him. They're actually implying something deeper in their own hearts, in my opinion, that they agree with him being killed. He needed to be killed. They won't come out, those words won't come out of their mouth. They'll be very careful to say the opposite. But, there's always this but at the end of their statement. But he said this. But he said he did that. And of course, they're always twisting something that he said. Now, he wasn't perfect. He didn't have every argument right. He certainly didn't have ill intentions towards anyone. He didn't. There wasn't a racist bone in his body. He saw people as individuals. That somehow now is racist because you don't see someone as a group. Which, in my opinion, is, you know, he fought against segregation, which is, strangely enough, people want segregation again. Only it's the haters of white people now. They want white people excluded from places now, because that somehow is justice. I would encourage you to read the book Uncle Tom's Cabin. There was a really good short. It wasn't on YouTube. Actually, it was actually on. I've been watching a lot of reels lately. My wife sends me a lot of reels on Facebook, and I tend to start fanning through that stuff quite a bit. And it's kind of more the stuff that's. I just don't have a way to play. I could probably go back and play it. There's probably a history thing I could do, but. Boy, what is that? I put all kinds of weird stuff. That's where I'm coming from with most of this. Now, let me know what you think about what I think this morning. Maybe you've got some opinions about the First Amendment, about Jimmy Kimmel. Maybe you've got some opinions about this whole thing of the assassination, whatever it is. Tomorrow we're going to be live, and I've got a lot more clips I want to play tomorrow. Mostly of what people on the left have been saying. AOC got up and made a speech about the civil rights movement. The Civil Rights Act gave black people the right to vote. It did not. That was an amendment. It wasn't the Civil Rights Act that gave just things like that. She's been saying things like that, and just some of the comments that have come out, some of the things that Ilhan Omar has said, some of the things that Joaquin Jeffries, I have to hand it to him, he at least has been somewhat civil about it, but he's even come out and said some stupid things as well. Of course, Nancy Pelosi, I can't determine what's in the mind of someone else. We can't control. With all the rhetoric that they've pushed out there, they want to stand behind it. They want to double down on it. When they say things like Donald Trump is literally Hitler, what do you do with that? He's an existential threat to our democracy. Most people don't know what existential is, but just saying he's a threat to our democracy. We have a tyrant. We have a dictator. We have a fascist. We have a oligarch in the White House. Whatever you're going to call it, however you want to say it. All this stuff is unhinged. And it's causing people who have a little bit less discipline in their lives or think that they're going to be the hero somehow or they have to defend or protect someone, they go, that's where they go. Well, I have to be the hero here. Now, have you heard anything from this kid at all of any kind of contrition at all? Is he going to go to his, it's one of those things where I'm not so sure. I agree. I believe in capital punishment. I do. But at the same time, in some ways, that would, in my opinion, be too easy for him. I'm glad I'm not the one who has to decide that, but because I don't know how I would go with that. In some ways, I think he should be incarcerated in prison for the rest of his life. Yeah. But he's the kind of person who may go. Now, see, he would become a martyr for the left. If the government kills him, well, now, if he gets capital punishment, well, then, all of a sudden he's the martyr. Because, he was a hero to them. There are people who have said that. And I think it's weeding out some of the leftist lunatics. And I think people on the, I would say, center left, I'm going to call them center left, including people like Bill Maher, are looking at this and going, wait a minute, what are we doing here? What's going on here? And their only way out is to say, well, this wasn't one of our, this was a MAGA guy. This had to have been a MAGA guy because he had guns. This guy was, well, look, he grew up in a family that was, his dad was a police officer and on and on. It was a conservative Republican family. He grew up in a conservative Republican family. Doesn't check off any of the boxes, does he? I've heard people say this kind of drivel. He's an adult. Let's look at his own ideology and his own theology and his own things that he believes. He was rebelling against his family. I don't know. We'll see here what ends up happening with all this. I was going to play another clip on the way out. I think I'll save some of that stuff for tomorrow for the live show. The plan tomorrow is to have a live show. I think what we'll do is have it at 9 o'clock. I was going to have it 8 o'clock in the morning, but that's normally I'm recording. By the time I record, it's usually after 8 o'clock, and that's at my house. I would rather do the live show from, if I can do it, I'd rather do it from my office, my main worldwide headquarters. That is the plan. So we'll see if that works out. Everything has to work there. One of the things I have to do is get an update of the in my vMix program, which is what I use for producing a video, which is, if I can get that all done, I'm going to do it on video. I'm probably going to do it on, I might even try to do it on YouTube, but we're going to see how that works out. But I'm going to see about streaming on, today I'm going to spend a little bit of time trying to work on streaming from different platforms, because vMix now I can stream up to five different platforms from vMix, which is the plan there is to go. I used to have to go through a third party to do that. So the audio will be recorded and posted, as well as audio will be done on Podbean, And then the video will be on Rumble, YouTube, and probably X, what was formerly Twitter. So we'll see how that works out. I might even do Facebook Live. We'll see how all that works out, because that thing gets five. There is a Facebook page, but you can also call the show 812-379-8778. And you can leave a text or a call. Call the show at that point. You can call and leave a message. I don't ever answer the phone. Well, I probably won't answer the phone. Call, leave a text message, and let me know what you think about all this stuff and what you want to hear tomorrow. What you want me to talk about tomorrow on the live show, and I will try to have things prepared for that. So, because I typically like to have a lot of preparation done for our live show. So, planning on having live shows now from every Wednesday from here on out through the rest of October. That's the plan. I'm not sure that's going to work out every time, because I know the first week of October may be a little bit more difficult to do that, but see how that works out. Anyway, folks, thanks again for listening. Thank you for sharing the show, subscribing, commenting, all the things you do. Just thanks for listening. If you've listened to the whole thing, to the end here, I just want to tell you how grateful I am that you're out there, knowing that, you know, knowing that people are actually listening, tuning in, is actually quite encouraging for me. Numbers have been up tremendously in the last week or so. I think that people are tuning, you know, back in for the political content and commentary, and I do greatly appreciate that. Folks, once again, God bless. Take care. Give your loved ones a hug today, and don't take anything for granted. In the meantime, I will hopefully see you tomorrow live, actually on video possibly. Take care, and I will talk to you tomorrow. See ya.